Good morning. I'll just note for the record that this is a panel of the Minnesota Court of Appeals proceeding on January 4th, 2024. We did have an interruption in our calendar today, but we are back on track, if not on time, and have the lawyers for the second case in front of us. I'll ask the marshal to call the second case, please.
Now calling case A230783, State of Minnesota versus Lisa Marie Hellerud-Schuth.
Before counsel proceed, I just want to note a few things. First of all, you probably did notice as you walked into the courtroom, not only that our timing had changed, but that the panel is slightly different than what you expected. So Judge Bradford, me, I'm presiding today. Judge Smith is here and participating. You may have observed that because I think you were in the courtroom earlier. She's doing so remotely, and so you will hear her, and she's participating in the arguments. And of course, Judge Cleary is obviously here on the bench with me. So, counsel for appellant and respondent, I'll just make a couple of quick remarks. Counsel for appellant, if you want, you can go up to the podium and start adjusting and getting ready. I just ask you to identify yourself for the record. We do make a recording of today's proceedings, and it's later made available on the court's website. So please identify yourself and your client. And then keep an eye on the clock. It should show 15 minutes at the start of your argument for both of you, 5 minutes for rebuttal for appellant. We very much enjoy our conversation today, and so we look forward to talking to you. The time tends to go quickly, and that's the only reason I ask you to keep your eye on the clock. So with that, counsel for appellant, you can begin when you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Robert M. Christensen. I represent Ms. Lisa Hellerud-Schuth, counsel. Thank you for being here this morning to listen to the arguments and our point of view in this seizure issue. And I'm going to begin by just imagining if you were just on the side of a residential street on a quiet Saturday morning, on your phone, not driving while texting, not driving while on your phone, but parked to the side of the curb, minding your own business, and two police officers, marked vehicles, come up and pinch you in, one directly behind and offset, and the other one in a marked SUV parks at an angle. Just like that, she's here, you got a car blocking the road, and another one here, and they both approach from behind. She opens the door a crack, and then one of the officers pulls the door all the way open. And I'm submitting to the court, or we are, that is a seizure under the Fourth Amendment and Article 1, Section 10 of the Minnesota State Constitution.
Counsel, let's stop for a minute. I just want to make clear as to the factual scenario that you're painting for us. If the driver of the car that was parked wanted to pull away, could they?
Yes, they could have, and I was anticipating that, and that is that's the part of the argument that we're having to overcome, because it's clear that she theoretically could have driven forward. However, I think that the way that the officers approached this particular vehicle and the driver in it was a sufficient show of authority to put a human being in the place of feeling that they were not free to leave, just by the way that they approached that vehicle. And if you recall in the facts that there was a neighbor that saw the vehicle out there, and they didn't like him there, and they didn't like it, and they said
You're
it was
talking about the 911 call?
Yeah, okay. And I'm talking about it as a slumper. It reminds me of the Bewitched and Mrs. Kravitz across the street looking out the window, wondering what's going on, and nothing's going on. You have a woman that's just sitting there in her car on her phone.
Counsel, be that as it may, though, the officers under our case law, given that it's a parked car, have authority to approach, do they not?
They do, but it's also in the manner in which they approach that I'm asking the court to take a look at here. And, you know, the whole way that they approached her was very aggressive. They weren't there to check on the welfare. In fact, there's nothing in the record saying that the officer said, hey, are you okay? Because this was a welfare check, right? And when they approached, you wonder if even he had the legal right to even knock on our window to...
Well, I have to stop you, counsel, about that, because I think our case law is clear that even when a welfare check is dispelled, say, in the first few minutes of an officer approaching a vehicle, that the officer does have, it is certainly lawful to then communicate and contact the driver and let them know what the nature of all of this is about.
Except the driver didn't necessarily know that they were there. And I want to distinguish immediately the Lopez case that the respondent cited and discussed in the last few pages of their brief, how that is one of the things that they bring out. But in those cases, there's a distinguishing fact that those cars were actually moving and pulled over. So, and then like maybe the licensing wasn't correct. And then that, and my understanding of the fact scenario in that case is that then it seems reasonable and humane really to say, hey, I pulled you over and I just wanted to let you know I thought your license was expired, but I see you have the temporary permit on the back of your window. All good here. Carry on.
Well,
sorry to bother you.
Let's talk a little bit more about the record in this case, because the officer, as you said, did have a 911 caller indicating that they had noticed that the driver's slumping, which is, I think you've admitted, that is can be a valid welfare check, right, a slumper. And the officer in the body camera video, it's pretty clear that the officer recognized that the driver was texting at the moment the officer approached.
Right.
But the officer doesn't know what happened in the last 30 minutes apart from what the 911 caller said, correct?
Well, all the 911 caller said from the record that we got was that it's a quote-unquote slumper.
So right.
That means you're asleep, unconscious. You know, I've done thousands of DWI cases probably
yes,
in my
you
career.
Have, I'm sure. And a slumper can wake up and then still be intoxicated and unable to drive, correct? Or unable, it's lawful to be in physical control of that vehicle, right?
Yes, it is. However, the seizure, the way that they approach, why park the car in the middle of the road and point it right? I mean, you're
so
sitting
it's
here.
So it's the pointing of the squad cars. Why don't you tell us what you think is are the key facts that show a seizure?
That the officer opened her door. I find
well,
that incredibly
rude first,
and
counsel.
Illegal. What's that?
Who opened the door first?
She opened it a crack to see what was going on, then he opens it all the way up. How is that not a show of authority? That there's no questions of care or concern about her welfare. They approach two cars. Neither of them park normally, how a normal citizen would walk up. This isn't the same as an officer walking up to someone on a park bench, how you doing today? And then maybe they notice there's drugs or something. Oh, well. Now I'm going to arrest you for that. Here, she's on her phone the whole time. And that they don't have any other facts. They don't say, hey, she's passed out, her eyes are shut, and her mouth is open, and she's drooling out the side. Okay, that gives me facts that somebody might be in medically distressed. But a slumper is a very, very broad term. And when they walked up, they saw she was not a slumper. She was coherent, she was awake, and she was doing exercising motor skills with her phone. And I don't know why they approached her in the way that they did or why they ripped the door open.
What
but
else
they just,
about the approach? Is it only the opening of the officer proceeding to continue the opening of the door, or is there something else?
I think it's all of it.
Well, Counselor, you're going to have to be more specific in your argument.
Well, I think it is specific
enough. You were in
enough.
Your brief, and I disagree with the way your brief characterizes the record. Do you want to go down that path today or not?
Well, I just want to go down the path to show that I think the way the officers approached this human being, this citizen, was overly aggressive.
In what way? So tell me.
Because of the way they parked the car, both their cars, they were unorthodox. You can't just park a car in the middle of the road at an angle. And the fact that they opened the door all the way open, that's an intrusion. This was a welfare check, and he opens the door wide open. She opens it a crack to address the officer, realizing there. And he opens it all the way up. What is a citizen supposed to feel? I wouldn't feel like I could leave. And he didn't have a reasonable, articulable suspicion to open that door. And so when you look at the totality, the way the cars, they're in their uniforms, it's early morning, on a Saturday, I believe it was, just before Christmas of this year, and no traffic on the street, just a quiet, quiet Robbinsdale neighborhood. And these officers pinched her in and approached it with a requisite show of authority that I believe a seizure occurred. And I'm here to submit that there was not a reasonable, objective, articulable suspicion of criminal activity. And she was fine. And I don't think that their methods here is appropriate. I don't think it's good for society that officers approach people that might be in medical distress in a way, in such an authoritative way, in an aggressive manner. That's really what the issue is here. It's the way they went about it and the attitude they brought to the confrontation with the citizen that makes this a seizure. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel from respondent, you can begin when you're ready.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Annalise McCary, and I represent the city of Robbinsdale and respondent state of Minnesota in this case. Your honors, I'd like to begin my argument by addressing counsel's characterization of the facts that occurred on the offense date here. Officer Stakoff, a Robbinsdale police officer, testified in a pretrial evidentiary hearing that he received a 911 call about a purported slumper parked legally on the side of a residential street. The 911 caller said that this individual was occupying the driver's seat of the vehicle and that they had had their head down for approximately 30 minutes and the vehicle was not moving and they were not sure what was going on. Officer Stakoff and his partner, Officer Saba, responded to that location to see what was going on. Officer Stakoff testified that he located the vehicle parked northbound against the curb on a residential street, and he approached from southbound. So he parked behind that vehicle, not directly on the bumper of that vehicle, but behind that vehicle. Officer Saba, his partner, also responded to the scene, and she parked somewhat adjacent to Officer Stakoff's vehicle. As Judge Cleary pointed out, the appellant's vehicle could have been put into drive and driven straight forward, and she would not have been blocked in any fashion. The only way she would have been blocked in is if she had tried to reverse out or turn sideways in some wonky maneuver, but that is not what happened. She could have put her car into drive and driven straight forward. Officers Saba and Stakoff both approached in marked squad vehicles, that is correct. They were both uniformed at the time. They both had fire service weapons, and they had their badges as well. Officer Stakoff testified that he approached the vehicle, again, not knowing exactly what the situation is that he was encountering. He was responding to the report of a slumper. He testified to his understanding of what a slumper is an individual who's a driver, could be a driver who is unconscious or unaware, or in other words, not acting appropriately for the scenario. So he did not know what he was walking into at that point in time. He approached the vehicle slowly as anyone would. He did not draw his service weapon. He did not even have a hand on his service weapon, as the record indicates. He approached that vehicle with the intention to make contact with the occupant to determine whether or not they required assistance. It is true that upon approach to that vehicle, and while he was near the window of that vehicle, he observed that the appellant was indeed conscious. She was awake, she was on her phone, or appeared to be on her phone, and appeared to be texting. At that point, he knocked on the window to make contact with the appellant, at which point the appellant herself opened the car door. And that is a characterization of the facts that I believe are appropriate in this case.
So, counsel, you stopped before you got to the officer's description of what happened next. So the officer testified that after he knocked on the window, the driver of the vehicle opened the door from the inside, cracking it a few inches, at which point I grabbed the inside of the car door and opened it all the way up. And I think, if I'm following appellant's argument, that's one of the points that the appellant would like to make, is that it's that decision of the officer to grab the inside of the car door and open it all of the way up that is a showing of force that amounted to a seizure. So what's your response to that?
Certainly, and that is correct, Your Honor. The appellant herself cracked open the door, and Officer Stakoff himself grabbed the door and opened it.
Let's stop there just for a minute. I want to follow up. If that is true, and the officer's approaching, having been told that a slumper is in the car, and we can call it a welfare check, but those of us who are familiar with this area of the law will know that what that means is likely alcohol use, possibly passed out. So when an officer approaches with that knowledge, why did he need to open the door all the way?
Certainly. You're correct, Judge. When an officer responds to a slumper, I think colloquially in that area, we understand that to mean that it could be a person who's passed out behind the wheel who had potentially been drinking alcohol. The officer approached the vehicle, again, with the intention to make contact with the driver to ensure that they were safe, they didn't need aid, and that they were safe to drive. When an officer is responding to a welfare check or to a report of a slumper, case law tells us that as part of that investigation, they must be permitted to make contact with the driver in order to ensure that they, one, do not require any additional assistance or medical assistance, and two, to ensure that if they are going to drive, that they are safe to do so, to protect not only that driver, but everyone else on the road.
And all of that's true. I agree totally. But why not talk to her through the crack in the door as she opens it?
In order for the officer to have made an appropriate determination as to what that individual needs, a crack in the door doesn't always work. It's the same way where when an officer pulls over, for example, a vehicle that is speeding, and they want to make contact with that individual, get their license and insurance registration information. When someone cracks open the top of their window to communicate that way, that's not an effective way or form to make that communication. I think it's likewise and akin to the situation we have here. In order for that officer to make a totality of the circumstances determination as to what is going on, they need to be able to have that contact. Whether or not that's an open door or an open window, I think the analysis would be the same. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. A seizure occurs when an individual is seized when they would not believe that they are free to leave or otherwise terminate an encounter with law enforcement. As I stated previously at the outset of my argument, I do not believe that there are any factors in this case that would say that the appellant would not be free to leave. There was no authoritative show of force. Again, the car could have driven forward and left the location. There was no aggression in the officer's approach. There were no demands, and he was otherwise unintimidating. He was simply approaching the scene to see what was going on.
So, counsel, let me go back to the officer's testimony about opening the door beyond a crack. Is that an expansion of the stop, and do we have to examine it for additional reasonable, articulable suspicion?
I do not believe so, Your Honor. I look at this on a twofold kind of approach. One is the officer is approaching, again, doing, as Judge Cleary said, a welfare check. He's trying to ensure that the driver of that vehicle is safe. When he had that contact with the appellant, he did crack the door open to make that contact. And I think that was still part of his welfare check. He was still trying to determine whether or not assistance was needed or whether or not the appellant was okay. So I do not believe that that would be an expansion. It is the state's position that this whole entire scenario was not expanded or turned into a seizure until the point when he had that contact and was able to see or tell that there was an odor of alcohol. And then there became reasonable, articulable suspicion that a crime had occurred, at which point he then asked for her driver's license and the scenario itself turned into a DWI investigation. Your Honors, I'd like to also point out that the welfare checks, case law tells us that law enforcement not only has the role or the duty to investigate these call-ins about potential medical emergencies, but it's also their right to ensure that everyone that is driving a vehicle or people that are concerned about others driving vehicles are safe to drive. So they must be permitted to have that contact in order to ensure that there is no medical emergency happening. I would also like to point out that there is also case law that says that, again, it is not by itself a seizure, does not constitute a seizure for an officer to walk up to a vehicle that is already parked legally, just like it's not illegal for an officer to walk up to someone on the sidewalk and interact with them. At this point in time, when what we're discussing here is that matter of seconds when Officer Stakoff got to the vehicle and interacted with the appellant. What we're talking about there is it's not a criminal investigation. It was a welfare check that was appropriate and justified by law. Counsel brought up the Lopez case that I cited in my brief that was related to a remedy of a mistake by law enforcement. And I think that we can draw parallels between that and what occurred here. We're looking at a welfare check, but we're also looking at the fact that Officer Stakoff acknowledged that by the time he got to the door of the vehicle, he observed that the appellant was conscious, was moving, was potentially on her phone, observed that she was no longer considered what we would traditionally refer to as a slumper and that she was not unconscious. While I still believe that it was his right to make that contact with her nonetheless, there's also case law that says that even if at that point he determined that in his mind, that there was no medical emergency occurring, he still has the right to make contact with that individual to tell them, hey, this is what I thought occurred. the Lopez case that counsel mentioned, again, it was an actual traffic stop, an actual identifiable seizure in which an individual was pulled over for a license plate violation. And upon approach to the vehicle, the officer observed that there was actually a 21-day permit or something along those lines that would legally allow that vehicle to be driven on the road. The officer then approached the vehicle just to let the driver know that, hey, I thought this is what was happening. It's not. You're good to go. You're in the clear. And that was fine. It was distinguished from the Hickman case, which had a very similar fact pattern in that, again, it was an identifiable seizure. A vehicle was pulled over, and the officer for a registration violation, and the officer determined prior to approaching the vehicle that the vehicle was properly registered. Instead of approaching the vehicle and simply telling the driver, hey, you're free to go, he took it one step further and asked that driver for their driver's license, which they did not have, which ultimately resulted in a driving after revocation charge. The court there found that the officer's initiation of going one step further for asking that driver's license was an unjust intrusion. And I think it's very different between Lopez and Hickman, that here, even if Officer Stakoff realized upon his approach that the appellant was fine and made that determination, he would still have that right to make that contact with her to let her know. Your Honors, I think that this case involves a lot of very well-established case law, and I think it is a simple, we can draw a simple conclusion here, and I'm asking the court respectfully to uphold the district court's decision. Absent any further questions, I will forfeit the remainder of my time.
Panel does not have any further questions. I'm assuming Judge Smith will speak up if she does. And so with that, I think we've concluded respondent's argument. We'll reset the clock for 5 minutes for rebuttal. Counsel for appellant.
Thank you. Just a couple comments. I was just thinking there as she was making her comments, and thank you for those. You know, you could have asked, right? He opened the door all the way. Hey, do you mind if I open the door a little farther to talk to you? No, it was just an aggressive, I opened it all the way up. She opened it a crack. And I imagine, what if an officer came up to someone's house to talk to a neighbor, and they open it a crack, and he opens the door all the way up, you know? I mean, that's an aggressive act. And so I think when we're in our car, it's the same sort of principle that an officer can't come up to someone's door, which they can. They can come up and knock on anybody's door, like any neighbor. But if someone opens the door a crack and say, what's up, the officer can't push the door all the way open to get a better picture of what's going on. So there was no facts that she was in any type of distress other than in a call from a neighbor in the area. And she was hunched down in her car, and when the officer got there, he saw she was just fine, but he decided to turn it into an intrusion by opening that door, and then based on the situation of the officer's vehicles, that feels and looks like a seizure to me, and I think the court should draw the line there and reverse the district court's decision and suppress the evidence. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. All right, thanks to both lawyers in this case. It's now submitted to this court for a decision. We will issue a decision within the statutory time frame. So thank you very much.